Sheriff McNatt was out making the rounds, visiting each juror. I had to unload on someone, so I barged into Harry Rex's office and waited impatiently while he finished a deposition. When we were alone, I told him about Miss Callie's list and the division of the jurors. He had been haggling with a room full of lawyers for the past 2 hours, so he was in a feisty mood. As usual, he had a different, far more cynical theory. "Those three were supposed to hang the jury on guilt," he said after a quick analysis. "They caved for some reason. Probably thought they were doing the right thing by keeping him out of the gas chamber. But of course, Padgett ain't thinking that way. For 9 years, he's been pissed because his three stooges didn't hang the jury. He figures he'll get them first, then go after the rest." "There's no way Lenny Ferguson was a stooge for Danny Padgett," I argued. "Just because he's crippled? Just because he was a very devout Christian?" "He was unemployed, Willie. He was once able to work, but he knew his condition would only deteriorate over the years. Maybe he needed money. Hell, everybody needs money. The Padgetts have trucks full of cash." "I don't buy it. It makes more sense than any of your screwball theories. What are you saying? Somebody else is picking off the jurors?" "I didn't say that." "Good, because I was about to call you a flaming dumbass. You've called me worse." "Not this morning." "And under your theory, Mo Teal and Maxine Root also took cash from the Padgetts, then double-crossed Danny on the issue of guilt, then reversed themselves on the issue of death, and will now pay the ultimate price because they didn't hang the jury to begin with. Is that what you're saying, Harry Rex?" "Damn right." "You're a flaming dumbass, you know that? Why would an honest, hard-working, crime-hating, church-going man like Mo Teal agree to take money from the Padgetts?" "Maybe they threatened him. Maybe. Maybe they didn't. So what's your best theory?" "It's Padgett, and it just so happens that the first two he picked off happened to be two of the three who voted no to the death penalty. He doesn't know how the vote went. He was in Parchman 12 hours after the verdict. He's made his list. Ferguson was first because he was such an easy target. Teal was second because Padgett could choose the setting. Who's third?" "I don't know, but these folks won't stay locked in their homes forever. He'll bide his time, let things die down, then secretly start making plans again. He could have some help, you know."
"Exactly."
Harry Rex's phone had never stopped ringing. He glared at it during a pause, then said, "I got work to do. I guess I'll go see the sheriff. See you later." I was out of his office when he yelled,
"Say, Willie, one other thing."
I turned to face him.
"Sell it. Take the money. Go play for a while. You've earned it."
"Thanks."
"But don't leave Clanton, you hear?"
"I won't." Mr. Earl Urey ran a road grader for the county. He graded the rural roads that ran into very remote places, out from Possum Ridge and far beyond Shady Grove. Since he worked alone, it was decided that he should hang around the county barn for a few days, where he had many friends, all of whom had rifles in their trucks and were on high alert. Sheriff McNatt huddled with Mr. Urey and his supervisor and worked out a plan to keep him safe. Mr. Urey called the sheriff and said he had important information. He admitted his recollection was less than thorough, but he was certain that the crippled boy and Mo Teal had been adamant in their refusal to impose the death penalty. He remembered that they had a third vote. Maybe it was one of the women. Maybe the colored lady. He just couldn't recall exactly. And after all, it had been 9 years. He posed the same question to McNatt.
"Why would Danny Padgett be killing the jurors who refused to give him the death penalty?"
When I walked into the sheriff's office, he had just finished his conversation with Mr. Urey, and he was as bewildered as he should have been. I closed the door and relayed my conversation with Miss Callie. "I saw her note, Sheriff," I said. "The third vote was Maxine Root." For an hour, we rehashed the same arguments I'd had with Sam and Harry Rex, and again it made no sense. He did not believe that the Padgetts had bought or intimidated either Lenny or Mo Teal. He wasn't so sure about Maxine Root, since she came from a rougher family. He more or less agreed with me that the first two killings had been coincidental and that Paget, in all likelihood, did not know how the jurors had voted. Interestingly, he claimed that he found out about a year after the verdict that it had been a 9-3 split on the issue of death and that Mo Teal had become almost violently opposed to such a sentence. But both of us conceded, with Lucian Wilbanks involved, it was entirely possible Paget knew more about the deliberations than we did. Anything was possible. And nothing made sense. While I was sitting in his office, he called Maxine Root. She worked as a bookkeeper at the shoe factory north of town and had insisted on going to work. McNatt had been in her office that morning inspecting the place, talking with her boss and co-workers, making sure everyone felt safe. Two of his deputies were outside the building, watching for trouble and waiting to haul Maxine back home at quitting time. They chatted on the phone like old friends for a few minutes. Then McNatt said, "Say, Maxine, I know that you and Mo Teal and the Ferguson boy were the only three who voted against the death penalty for Danny Paget." He paused as she interrupted. "Well, it's not important how I found out. What's important here is that makes me real nervous about your safety. Extra nervous." He listened to her for a few minutes. As she rambled on, he interrupted occasionally with such things as, "Well, Maxine, I can't just charge out there and arrest the boy." And, "You tell your brothers to keep those guns in their trucks." And, "I'm working on the case, Maxine, and when I get enough evidence, I'll get a warrant for his arrest." And, "It's too late to give him the death penalty, Maxine. You did what you thought was right at the time." She was crying when the conversation ended. "Poor thing," McNatt said. "Her nerves are shot to hell." "Can't really blame her," I said. "I'm ducking under windows myself."